So I said, thoughts on Caligari? He said he didn't eat squid.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
And that's not a story that we should be talking about on the radio.
I was just talking to Lewis about talk about this Wikipedia page, which I found yesterday. Do you know that, I just closed it, recreational nitrous oxide use has its own Wikipedia page? I was just like, man, that's pretty classic.
Oh.
Yeah. We can talk about that now, but we won't talk about the last thing we're talking about.
Is it, that Wikipedia page, does it have a very well-structured set of subtopics and categories? Is it more just a very light glossing over of the recreational use of nitrous oxide?
It's pretty in-depth. It's got everything from, this is a big old recreational use of nitrous oxide Wikipedia page.
So
how long it is.
What kind of as a film guy, I'm quite curious about the narrative with which you found this.
I was we were talking, someone texted in last night about this band would be great to listen to while I had some nitrous oxide.
Oh yeah. Well, I think that's a good
we got to that.
We do need to find out what it is first of all to have an opinion on that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, Wikipedia, a great place to start for information on recreational nitrous oxide use.
Fantastic. I mean, I'm going to get straight into reading about it after I've gotten off here.
Now, Steve, what's happening in the cinema?
This week we've got a nice treat that's a reversal of the normal trend of good movies go to Netflix and not cinemas. I mean, to be fair, the Netflix releases have been getting a little bit better with sporadic cinema dates. But this week we get to see a new film starring Florence Pugh, called The Wonder. This is coming into cinemas from Thursday. It's ahead of a Netflix streaming date that I think is maybe a couple of weeks away. And now this is a lovely little drama, creepy little drama, about a young girl in, I want to say, 18th century Ireland, who, when Florence Pugh arrives to the small town as a nurse, sort of isn't too sure why she's there. She's been summoned because a young woman has stopped eating, and she hasn't had anything to eat for 4 months. Mm.
Did anything good happen in the olden days? It's just like, oh man. Apart from the environment being in a bit better condition, the olden days, man, it must have kind of sucked, eh?
Yeah, there's on that note, there's a part of this film that I was sort of a little bit obsessing about last night where Pugh's character has to do a lot of walking. She has to do a lot of walking to this very distant cottage. And I want to sort of say, approximately, we should probably be led to believe it's probably somewhere in the realms of like 3 or 4 miles of walking through Irish countryside, through some hills. And it's not all paved or even has like a worn path. There's a lot of sort of walking through vegetation. And sort of the bottom, like 3 or 4 inches of her dress is just mud.
Yes.
And so I started getting, this isn't a sign of a bad film, this is a sign of a good detail. So I got distracted, like, did they just put up with that? Or how often do you have to wash your frock?
A couple of hours every night washing the frock.
Yeah, maybe. Although in this film she whacks out on laudanum and gets a bit.
That's old school.
Gets a bit wasted, I think is the term.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so she's a nurse. She's trying to figure out what the hell is going on with a young woman who doesn't eat food.
Clearly magic of some sort.
Far out. You just jumped straight to the most illogical explanation. I mean, it's either magic or a poltergeist, right? Those are the...
Oh, the scariest of all the ghosts are poltergeists.
It's a poltergeist that's been moving food into my mouth while I've been asleep. It's the only logical explanation. She's there doing split shifts with a nun, so they've got two quite different perspectives on things, doing turnabout 8 hours with this young woman and trying to figure out what the heck is going on. Some of the people in the town, the sort of town elders who have summoned these women to watch the young girl, some of them are quite keen on having a local saint. Some of them are dead skeptics, just like, nah, it's bullshit. We need to find out how they're doing it. There's a doctor who thinks that maybe she might have learned to live on light.
Oh yeah, that makes sense.
I mean, there's probably a good Wikipedia page on that, actually.
Okay.
Living on light.
Vitamin D.
There's a slug that lives on, that can. There's a slug that can photosynthesize. I've often dreamed about human evolution, where we will pick up a little bit of the slug knowledge of like, yeah, there's a slug that can do it.
Mm.
I like salt too much though.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah.
Matt Boney's here.
Welcome,
welcome.
Hey everybody.
Hello, hello.
So yeah, so over the runtime of this film, there's sort of this. I think a skeptic in 21st century modern life would be going, it's all nonsense. We're just going to try and figure out what the trick is.
Mm.
And it's very much Pugh's kind of position. But sort of what else is going on in the background is, as you kind of alluded to before, like it's very grim in the olden days. There's a line in the film that sort of talks about when the hunger came.
Oh, no. When like there's no potatoes.
Yeah, and not to spoil anything, this is sort of a side conversation, but so-and-so's family nailed the door to their house shut from the inside so they wouldn't fall down dead in the streets.
Mm.
The olden days. Yikes.
Oh, man. Sounds pretty creepy.
Florence Pugh, I'm a big fan. She carries this film. It's a great performance, along with her sort of sense of professional interest and sort of growing frustration about how might a scam be being done, if a scam is indeed being done. Also has some grief issues of her own. So the relationship she forms with this young girl is very emotionally close and sort of powers the back end of this film. One of the interesting things about it, and this is a spoiler for the first 15 seconds of the film. That's probably okay to say what happens when it starts. I'd pictured some mist, an old house, maybe some countryside.
Mm.
But what we see in the first sort of 30 seconds is the inside of a soundstage, a set, some dolly tracks, and the camera and a voiceover talking about how we're watching a story. Mm. And then the camera kind of turns around and there's the set of half of a ship. And the camera pushes in, and then at some point you sort of go, oh yeah, I accept that this is a ship now.
Is this like Cabin in the Woods Part 2, or what's going on here?
I think it's a pretentious art film.
Yes.
But nevertheless, very enjoyable. Mm. Yeah, I dug this, and I think that if you're into a kind of religious-themed mystery that has a great central performance, if you like Florence Pugh, if you hated her last awful film, Don't Worry, Darling, well, that wasn't her fault. Mm-hmm. And mind you, she didn't make this one either, so she's just an actor. Let's mm-hmm. remember that.
Nice. The what
one,
else, Steve?
That's called The Wonder. That's in cinemas this week. You can keep an eye out for it on Netflix in a couple of weeks' time. And what else? I've made a crack on season 2 of The White Lotus, which started this week.
Oh, yeah.
That's kicked off on Monday night.
How's it going? Because do you know what? I really like maybe the first 3/4 of The White Lotus, and I kind of faded out towards the end. But enjoyed it.
Did you make it to the end?
Or yep.
did you mean
yeah, yeah, made, your, it, yes, your, made it to
your,
the end.
Your enjoyment sort of tapered off.
No, I think it was good.
Mm.
But it started a lot stronger than I thought it finished.
Well, maybe this will help. The theme song's been judged up, and it's got a bit of a kind of trashy Euro house beat comes in underneath
it. Yeah, that feels good.
So that might assist your your vibe here. And that's juxtaposed in the credits with some very lovely classic European style artwork, and then there's a sort of choral vocal performance that starts getting chopped up, and then this kind of Euro trash sort of beat kicks in, and I think this does a really good job of summing up what the season of the show is going to be about, which is a resort in Sicily. And
oh really? You know, so it's not even in Hawaii.
Oh, I should have said that. Now the Euro house makes more sense.
Okay, all right.
Yes, yeah, so they've hopped to a different White Lotus. They've swapped out almost all of the cast. Jennifer Coolidge is back. She memorably had a great first season of the show as the extremely wealthy but kind of quite depressingly hapless woman who developed a very strange power imbalance friendship with her massage therapist,
mm-hmm.
Which became really awkward. She found love at the first White Lotus, and her now husband is on holiday with her. Also kicking about our new cast members that include Aubrey Plaza, who's...
Great name.
Yep. And she kind of dials back. She's normally quite a chaos agent in the shows and films that she's in. dealing sort of mega sarcasm, but here she's kind of a bit more together, maybe a little bit more snobby as the least wealthy in a quartet of people on vacation together. She doesn't really know the other couple she's on holiday with, but she definitely doesn't like the fact that they don't read the news or books or really do anything apart from being rich and white.
Mm-hmm.
Elsewhere, you've got Sopranos' Michael Imperioli. He's on holiday with his dad and his son.
Mm-hmm.
At least one of them are quite into hookers, so that's kind of a subplot. You've got a couple of young women on the Sicily end who are doing a bit of work with the hotel guests. It's all very White Lotus-y. And mm-hmm. It seems like this season, it's enjoying the fact that we are not in the throes of a pandemic. Obviously, the first season worked so well because they could go to a place and take it over. There were no guests. It was a very great solution to the production problems that were plaguing Hollywood at the time. Here, they kind of enjoy being able to be out on the beach with extras. They're going to get out of their location, but it's not going to be quite so confined. But still, it's going to be examining a lot of those same uncomfortable elements of power and wealth dynamics. And it does seem like there's a bit of sex farce going on as well. So that doesn't hurt.
Nice.
So that's The White Lotus Season 2. That's weekly. First episode was Monday. You can catch that on Neon.
Awesome.
And just a quick recap on last week. I was going on about Slow Horses was the Gary Oldman spy show that
came
I
with like a 95% rating on strong Robin recommend.
Season 2 of that's still a little while away, but it feels like that's a not enough people have seen it show. Mm-hmm. So I reckon get in. Very pleasantly paced.
Apple TV Plus on that one.
Apple TV Plus, yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Do we have time? Can I ask Steve a question?
Yes, Lewis, go.
How was Barbarian?
Oh, shit. Barbarian's great.
Oh, there you go.
Really, really like Barbarian. This is in theatres at the moment. This is the extremely heavily hyped American horror that premiered there. Twitter went apeshit about it a couple of months ago, and it's just been sort of a patient wait for it to open here. There are significant kind of twists and turns to the film, but the gist of it is, a woman turns up to an Airbnb. Someone's already staying in her Airbnb. That's a bit weird. And it gets weirder.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of...
But you enjoyed it. Lived up to the hype.
Yeah, really, really liked it. Nice. Really liked it. It is in cinemas. I was just talking to a pal today who saw it in a theater with six other people, which is a disappointingly low number of fellow moviegoers for a horror.
This was like at 2 p.m. at the smallest boutique theater somewhere. And is that why?
I don't think that's actually the case, sadly.
We're just not getting a good turnout.
This was the sort of film that I wish I had been surrounded by lots of people when I saw it, because I did hear myself shriek in a way that movies often don't make me do.
Oh,
that's
cool. Wow.
That's cool.
Oh.
So, yeah. So you all missed out on hearing that, and I missed out on doing it in front of lots of people. So, yeah, see Barbarian. Catch it on the big screen while you can. Also, I want to chuck in one final big screen mention, which is that the Terrify Film Festival kicks off at Capitol Cinema today, I believe. It's running this week. Check out the website. There's heaps of cool stuff playing. A24 slasher comedy Bodies, Bodies, Bodies is in the program. Fall is in the program, which is a kind of anxiety thriller where two young women climb a 2,000-foot radio tower and get stuck at the top. If you've got vertigo, that's a really great one. It makes you feel a bit queasy. It's kind of Final Destination-y. Like, it's sort of trashy, but it's also really effective, and the vertigo stuff works. There's a whole bunch of stuff playing there, including retro screenings of Return of the Living Dead and Cabin in the Woods, which you mentioned before. So that brings us full circle, and it's time to wrap up.
Thank you, Steve. We'll see you next week.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.